Hello, it's Father Jim. Recently, in our readings for Lent, we heard the story of the lady who was caught committing adultery. And the accuser said Moses ordered that she should be stoned. And our Lord didn't seem to condemn her and said, "He who is without sin cast the first stone." And of course the accusers left, starting with the eldest, who had a longer history of sin as well as virtue. And then when the lady, who was so humiliated having to stand up in public, was left just with our Lord, he said, "And I won't condemn you, just go and sin no more." Which made me think about stoning. I regret to say I have watched a stoning on the internet. In some ways I wish I hadn't. It took me a while to recover. But we have to just know the facts of these things. Before Islam, right back in pre-Jewish history, stoning was a way of putting people to death. In fact, there is a place in Leviticus where God orders people who blaspheme or who leave their faith to be stoned. Now, St. Paul attended a stoning of Stephen. In fact, he seemed to enjoy it. He was the cloakroom attendant, looking after people's outer cloaks while they had their arms free to be able to throw stones. It's a terrible death. And later on, St. Paul and his disciples were in threat of stoning in the Acts of the Apostles, and they had to leave one place and go to Lystra instead. Muhammad was against stoning. He tried to get rid of it. But there are cultures today where stoning is considered the right way to put people to death. Men are sometimes given 100 lashes beforehand, and women 40. There's a long recital of the crimes. And then the men are placed in a white shroud, because they're considered to be dead already, and placed up to their hips in a hole. Women are put in a hole up to their necks. And then the crowd all throw stones. And the experts say the stones mustn't be gravel or pebbles that don't do any damage, nor must they be too big so that a person dies too quickly. And sometimes I believe it can take an hour for somebody to die. In theory, if they can escape from the hole, they will be free. But often they're actually shot or put back in the hole and re-stoned. And there's a terrific noise going on and shouts, all to praise God. And occasionally the family of the people being stoned have to attend this. So imagine in our Lord's day, this poor lady was going to have this sort of thing done to her. And our Lord didn't condemn her, and I often wondered why. Now, of course, the Lord committed no personal sin, but he himself was taking on himself the sin of the world. So he was without sin. He wasn't without sin. He had the sin of the world on him. So he couldn't condemn, even if he wanted to. That's the sort of saviour we have, somebody who's taken on himself the sin of the world and couldn't throw stones at us. So, sometime, just look at a picture of the mother and child, the Madonna and child. What religion is there in the world that has a God who comes to us without teeth in his gums? His fingernails couldn't scratch you. He couldn't bite you. He has come vulnerable, in need of milk, in need of bathing, in need of being loved into life. Who could be afraid? So just sit when we think of the Annunciation recently, And think of that God who comes to us in need. And then on Good Friday, just sit in front of the cross. Don't talk to it. Let it say something lovely to you. What religion is there in the world that has a God who comes to us sans teeth, sans breath, sans everything? He's the wounded one. He couldn't hurt anybody. He's the hurt one. And even on Easter Sunday morning, when he appears, he shows them his wounds. He doesn't show them his glory. In fact, he shows them his hunger. He said, have you anything to eat round here? He still appears in need as the wounded one, because he is a man of sorrows and acquainted with griefs, and it's by his wounds that we're healed. And if any of my listeners, like me, are wounded people, please try to see this as our greatest gift for others. Because we couldn't condemn, we couldn't judge, because we are acquainted with griefs, we have compassion on the multitudes, and it's by our wounds people are healed. So the moral of the tale is, people in glass houses shouldn't throw stones. Amen.